You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? I hope you enjoyed that improved intro. Had to get the skull chant in there. Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL, shows on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And today is a big day. It's Crossover Thursday, so we're going to spend most of the show actually talking about the Bengals. Of course, there's a pretty big piece of news we got to hit and some injury report stuff as well, so we'll get into all of that. First, let me let you know, it is not too late to listen to the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 for previews of every team in every division from our local experts and Odyssey's NFL experts. You can search Ultimate Season Preview 2021 today on Odyssey, which is a podcast app, or wherever you find your podcasts. It's up on everywhere. At least listen to the NFC North one, where I got to make fun of Peter Bukowski and Matt Derry and Lauren Cox and make their lives living hell, like I love to do with those guys. So let's get into the big news of the day. I'm actually going to do Brian O'Neill stuff second. First, injury report. Real quick stuff. Everybody was at least a limited participant. There were no DNPs on the entire 53. Christian Darrisaw, Tyler Conklin, and Anthony Barr were all limited. Tyler Conklin has a hamstring. He's been dealing with that all preseason. And Anthony Barr's got the knee thing he's been dealing with. And of course, Christian Darrisaw still, I guess we're calling it a groin core injury, hernia looking thing. I don't know if it's actually a hernia, but it's in that area. So yeah, that's the injury report. There were a couple other people, Alexander Mattison up to full participation, a couple others up to full participation. But that's really good news. I would still probably call Anthony Barr a 50-50 to actually play week one, but the fact that he's a limited participant in practice already is really great stuff. And I would say Christian Darrisaw is less than 50-50 for week one, but he wouldn't start over Rashad Hill anyways, because he didn't actually get to go through that position battle. So it'll be Rashad Hill, whether Christian Darrisaw is healthy or not. So he's kind of got the time, you know, take him along slowly, I think is fine. So let's talk about the Brian O'Neill thing. Brian O'Neill, we've been talking about it all offseason, has been working with the Vikings on an extension. And I think it kind of gets backburnered a little bit over the course of the offseason. You know, when the front office is hyper focused on the draft, they're not going to be negotiating extensions. Same with free agency, same with like training camp and those evaluative decisions and try to figure out who their roster is going to be. They cut down the roster to 53. They get Harrison Smith done. They get Harrison Smith done before they cut the roster down, and then they get Brian O'Neill done afterwards, and that's great. The price tag is huge. It is 5 years of extension, so the extension kicks in next year, and it is $92.5 million with, I think, a little more than $22.5 million signing bonus and some more guarantees throughout there. As of this recording, I do not know the specifics of contract structure. We'll talk about that if we get time to, if there's anything interesting to say about it. My guess would be that it will follow similar structure to Harrison Smith, to Dalvin Cook, some other extensions where the money kind of toils around for the first couple of years in signing bonus, and the base salary doesn't really get huge until later on in the contract, and some of that's tied up in roster bonus and stuff like that, which gives them some outs, obviously. But Brian O'Neill's 25, so I don't think you need to protect yourself against much. You've got enough tape to kind of feel really good about how good he is. And you know, if you want to extend that, and I certainly do, I've made that argument in the past. He's got really, really good hands. I'm really impressed with that, the way he fights with his hands. And he did not have that coming out of Pitt at all. And he has, you know, solid footwork on all the things. His pass stances are a lot nicer. He had some bad footwork coming out of Pitt that's been cleaned up ever since. I mean, he cleaned that up in like 2018. That's been kind of a while ago. And he's, of course, awesome in the run. He can do the reach blocks. He can get to the second level. My favorite thing that he does is when he actually kicks out and needs to make a block in space on like an outside zone or some kind of pulling pin pull type deal with a tight end. You know, whenever he has to kick out and actually block in space and be almost a lead blocker for Dalvin Cook, I think that's when he's at his true most impressive. And yes, he has a bit of a core strength concern, and he cedes space in the pocket a little more often than I would like to, but that doesn't always mean getting beat. Sometimes that just means squeezing Kirk Cousins a little bit, and that's the kind of easiest kind of pressure to evade. You just take one step to the left and you're fine. Even Kirk Cousins can handle that. So that is, I think it's a great thing to have him extended. Yeah, the price tag is huge. I think he's the second highest paid right tackle in the league right now. His guarantees are $49 million, which over 5 years is slightly less guarantees per year on average than like Ryan Ramczyk, and I think Taylor Moten and Braden Smith are the other right tackles that got big extensions this year. But I don't know. Split hairs on it all you want. He's locked up through 2026. That is awesome. He's a good player, and now he's under contract through 2026, and it's an offensive lineman. We've wanted a good offensive line for a decade. We've been dying over here. We now have one of those pieces is not going to be a question mark until like two presidential terms from now. that's going to be a pretty good thing to have like solidly taken care of. And then, of course, you know, we'll see the actual contract structure. If it is similar to other extensions where the big money doesn't kick in until that big money is no longer as big a percentage of the salary cap as we're kind of used to those numbers being, then that'll be great. And of course, you're trying to project what the salary cap is, so they can't exactly, you know, dial that in like perfectly precisely. So that's Brian O'Neill. He got extended. Anthony Barr limited. Christian Darrisaw limited. All of that is pretty good news. The only other news is Drew Samia waived with an injury settlement, so he will not go on IR and then like come back to try to make the team next year. He will now become a free agent the second he's healthy and anybody can sign him, which is essentially the injured version of he didn't make the team, which we all kind of saw coming. I thought he kind of had a bit of a chance. He had a good Broncos game, but that hamstring injury seemed pretty serious. I don't know if he's going to be healthy for a while, but whenever he is, probably won't be playing for the Vikings. So now let's shift our attention here. We've been in offseason mode for way too long. It is time to start talking about the gosh darn Cincinnati Bengals. So to kick us off with that conversation, I had a couple of questions kicking around in my head so that I can really preview them tomorrow. So I leaned on this crossover for that. So Jake Lisco and James Rapine, those two guys do Locked On Bengals. They are going to join me in a little bit, and we are going to talk a little bit of Bengals. But first, guys, dudes, bros, I want to talk about self-care. Our good friends at Manscaped just launched their fourth generation performance package, including the Lawnmower 4.0. Across the board, this is the package to get you in the mood for whatever your manly heart desires. Ready to take the leap to male grooming royalty? Because 2 million men already have. Join the Manscaped movement by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade, which is way more comfy, way gentler, and their advanced skin safe technology. And it gives you the ability to turn on an LED spotlight on and off when needed for when you need a little bit of precision. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That is LOCKEDON, all one word, at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. Choose Manscaped. Take a little bit of care of yourself. All right, everybody. I am so excited for Crossover Thursday. We are here. It's week one. We're doing it. Finally talking to these Bengals guys, Jake Lisco and James Rapine of Locked On Bengals. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Very excited for week one real NFL action. It's been,
yeah, it
feels like forever.
Or whatever the closest things our two teams can approximate of that. So I want to kick it off by just asking you guys some questions about the Bengals. And the one that's been kicking around in my head is about the safeties. Obviously, if I were to ask you, you know, biggest player on the Bengals defense to worry about, the answer is probably Jesse Bates. Yeah. James?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. No doubt.
Cool. And then there's the other guy, Von Bell, who the Vikings are pretty familiar with from when he was with the Saints. But he is somebody that the Bengals, as I understand it, they want to put him in the box more if they can help it. But with the problems the Bengals are having at corner right now, of course, Trey Waynes, our old friend, isn't going to play. It seems like you might need more safety help over the top to cover over, you know, Eli Apple and Chidobe Awuzie and kind of not leave those guys on an island. So I guess I'll kick this to Jake. What do you do with Von Bell? Do you put him in the box to help with the run game, or do you take him out to help with those corners on the outside?
I do think that the focus for Von Bell will be largely in the box. He doesn't do a whole lot for you as a deep half safety anyway, in my opinion. I think that, you know, he's not adding a lot to help with those corners that have issues. Yes, there are absolutely concerns with Eli Apple. We've talked about them on Locked On Bengals. We haven't seen him. He didn't play in the preseason. He was nursing injuries, and Trey Waynes obviously nursing injuries as well. We hardly saw him. But the Eli Apple one-on-one with either Jefferson or Thielen is equally concerning given what Eli Apple's history is in the NFL. Sure. On the other hand, you know, how much of a step down is he from Trey Waynes? I don't know. The Bengals are going to probably play a lot of single high regardless of what they're dealing with. They're probably going to continue to drop Jesse Bates down to be, you know, within 8 yards of the line of scrimmage, to be sure. And that's my guess on most plays. I think that there's probably more concern with stopping the run and containing Dalvin Cook, especially early in the game, than there is with the shot plays. Although they probably should be concerned with the shot plays, I think there's just a lot of confidence in Jesse Bates' ability to be sideline to sideline from a deep center field position.
That makes sense. And just kind of say, well, he's going to help both guys over the top, so you can do what you want with Von Bell. I want to flip to the other side and ask about, I mean, the biggest story of the whole Bengals is Joe Burrow. He's back from injury. It sounds like he's been working on his mechanics. What can you tell me about Joe Burrow's development from last season, both in like recovery, but also in like progression?
Yeah, the key on Sunday, or the key in his development, and the thing he's really been focused on, is the deep ball and figuring out how to be, you know, more accurate and be that guy that we saw in 2019 at LSU, where he was so accurate downfield, and that wasn't the case last season, and it was really his biggest weakness. And so this team certainly has its flaws, but Burrow didn't have a ton last year. And I think from a processing standpoint, a playbook standpoint, just understanding what defenses are trying to do, all of those things are exactly where you'd want them to be from year one to year two. From a game planning standpoint, he's been given more responsibility, or kind of taken that responsibility, making checks at the line, all of that stuff. It's just, when he checks into that deep ball, is he going to be in sync with Ja'Marr Chase? Is he going to be in sync with T. Higgins? Not necessarily on the same page, but will they actually link up? Because they didn't at times last year. And I think that's the next step for this offense. So he's progressing well. I think he looks good on his knee. I've watched him throughout camp and throughout the preseason. And look, he's gotten better each day, it seems like, or each week. And if you go back to late July and watch a video of him to now, I think he's much more confident, especially in team periods and game-like situations. So we'll see. I still think there's going to be a little, almost mental hurdle on Sunday, because he only played three snaps in the preseason, and they were the most safe snaps. Sure. Let's not get Burrow hit at all. So there's going to be a hurdle probably on Sunday that he has to get over, but he's looked about as good as you could ask for, considering what he's coming back from.
Yeah, I have a couple more questions, but the one I really want to make sure we get to in time is I got to ask about Riley Reiff, a hashtag old friend of the Vikings. He was here for a bunch of years, for 4 years, and now he's playing right tackle with you. So he played left tackle here. And when he was here, there was a lot of talk about moving him to guard sometimes. You know, the Vikings didn't have a guard. If they had a better tackle, maybe move somebody, you know, have somebody else play left tackle and kick Riley Reiff inside to handle all their guard problems. Never actually came to fruition, but it's something they toyed with a lot. But now they're not switching him to guard. They're switching him all the way to the other side of the offensive line. So how's he taken to that switch?
From what we've seen, I think he's been good. But the frame of reference for Bengals fans is Bobby Hart at right tackle.
Yeah, true.
And so when you go from Bobby Hart to a guy who actually has the ability to anchor against a bull rush, then it's going to probably look good. From a scheme perspective, I think that one thing I've noticed in the preseason is the Bengals appear to be more comfortable, or were at least testing their boundaries of leaving their tackles on islands more often in pass protection than they did last year, especially when Jonah Williams was hurt. And this is something that they think Riley Reiff is doing at a much higher level than Bobby Hart, who consistently had issues with communication, had issues with anchor, had issues with, you know, trying to, he would overset quite frequently against speed rushers. You know, you would see him get those false starts that you see tackles get away with. You know what I mean? Like where they get that slightly yeah. early jump, and it would leave him susceptible to counter moves quite a bit. And I don't know that yeah. their expectations for Riley Reiff to be, you know, a shut down right tackle, but I think expectations are that he can be an average right tackle, and he's shown no indication that he can't be. You listen to Quentin Spain, who went on the Orange is the New Black podcast, a fan podcast, last night. He was talking about how Riley Reiff is the first offensive lineman in the building every day right now, and is the first offensive lineman on the practice field every day. So the work ethic certainly there to make that side swap to the right side. And from what we've seen, I think that he will probably be just fine there. Maybe not again that like all pro level that maybe he touched once in his career, or Pro Bowl level that maybe he touched early in his career, but certainly a significant improvement over what the Bengals have had there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. How long was Bobby? We don't talk about him anymore. Too long.
Yeah, he was always really solid with us. I mean, he had a couple of games where he fell apart, but you know, it happens. But he draws Danielle Hunter for most of the game for this, so I'm just always going to be really curious. And that is a matchup, one of many really interesting matchups that I want to ask you guys about, and we'll get to that in a second. But first, let me talk to you about Grambling. It's not too late to get in on BetOnline's opening day super promo. If you go to the website betonline.ag, or you can use your mobile device there, you can sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. And then make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. That is not all that we have at BetOnline. They're your number one spot for all pro and college football action this upcoming season. They have a $500,000 NFL mega contest. They have a $200,000 NFL survivor contest, the biggest online and the biggest in the world, respectively. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all of the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I also want to talk to you about your car. If you're not taking good care of your car, a small problem can become a big one later. And if you're worried about paying for the maintenance your car needs, I got a way to help you out with that. This is rockauto.com. Rock Auto is a car parts and supplies aggregator. It's not like a brick and mortar auto shop where they're selling you the stuff directly and they're going to upcharge you for all the retail costs and stuff. It is a catalog, a huge catalog. And if you enter your make, your year, and your model, the website will sort out everything to make sure you're getting parts and supplies that are compatible with your car, because you don't want to put the wrong transmission fluid in it or whatever. And you can get that stuff delivered directly to your doorstep, and you can buy it directly from the manufacturer, which is going to save you a buck, of course. So head on over to rockauto.com. They've been doing this for 15 years. They are going to look out for you. They've been doing this online thing. This is definitely not new or experimental at all. They know what they're doing over there. So head on over to rockauto.com. And at checkout, there is a How You Heard About Us section. Let them know there that Locked On sent you. And if you don't do that, I'm going to teach the rabbits how to commit check fraud, and then all bets are off. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. And by the way, if you've been watching this on YouTube, you know this, but if you're not watching this on YouTube, every ad read today has had bunny footage superimposed over it, so you have that to look forward to. All right, keeping going with this crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings, here with James Rapine and Jake Lisco of Locked On Bengals. I want to talk a little bit about matchups, because there are some really, really interesting matchups in this game that I just want to get into. And the first one I want to get into is on the edge. DJ Wonnum won a starting job for the Vikings, and he is a length rusher primarily. His favorite move is a swim move. He's like a tall, like Calais Campbell type rusher. Obviously not that good, but that's his style. You know, this kind of tall, get up and over you kind of guy. And Jonah Williams doesn't have the arm length. That was like a whole thing about him going in the draft, and he doesn't, he's got like sizing stuff. How do you think, I guess I just want to know how Jonah Williams is doing, because if there is an opening to beat a guy with length, and if DJ Wonnum has learned how to use that, which are both two big ifs, there could be kind of a secret key to the game there. But I wonder what your thoughts are, Jake.
You know, it's interesting because both Bengals tackles are built very similarly at this point. Riley Reiff also similarly has a length issue. And if you were to ask me what's the most concerning matchup, or on the edge anyway, certainly Danielle Hunter, most problematic
pass rusher.
But instead you ask me about DJ Wonnum, who's a guy that I haven't been concerned about at all. But that's because I'm not following the Vikings in the preseason, right? I'm not seeing this progress from him. He's just a guy that is a name on the depth chart to me. And I think for me, I'm quite confident in Jonah Williams' abilities, generally speaking, against length. It's an issue that was a question. Like, the arm length was a question, certainly, that I think affected his draft status to some degree. I don't think that when that draft started and Joe and I were doing the show at the time, neither of us really thought that Jonah would be the guy that would get there. We thought it was going to be a linebacker. We discussed TJ Hockenson at that point where the Bengals were picking, but instead Jonah Williams is the first tackle drafted and he makes it all the way to the Bengals pick. So the length stuff hasn't really shown up. I would say that he does have issues at times with extreme power. Like he will sometimes give it up to power just because he's a little bit smaller, and it'll be a real battle here of does that length physical tool outclass whatever technique Jonah Williams is playing with, because he's always made his living as a cerebral player, as a player who is going to use his tools to their maximum, even if they're limited, by being really disciplined. So that will be really interesting to watch. The technician, the archetype of Jonah Williams is technician versus what you're describing as this length rusher in wide.
Yeah, it is like the mechanics kind of versus the actual measurable physical tools. I don't have a ton of faith in Wonnum. I was not a huge fan of his rookie year. If he's come along and he's improved a ton, that's great. I've seen some in the preseason, but not a ton. But like stylistically, it's so interesting.
I imagine that's interesting for the Vikings over the course of the season to have that other edge rusher with Daniil Hunter. I mean, I know Dalvin Tomlinson and Michael Pierce are really good players, but you've tweeted many, rushers, many jokes about how many nose tackles are on that Vikings roster.
Let's talk about the DJ Reader, Garrett Bradbury thing, because DJ Reader is a power nose tackle. So the Vikings interior is this weird secret where the two guards, who are actually both converted tackles, both had really strong summers. Ezra Cleveland played guard last year, struggled as a rookie. Seems like he's kind of, things have slowed down for him. He moved back to his natural side. He's way more comfortable. And then there's Oli Udo, who nobody's heard of because he was a sixth round right tackle in 2019, who's been sitting on the bench. They moved him to right guard on a whim, and he never gave up the job. He just absolutely destroyed people. I mean, he shut down DeForest Buckner. It was insane. So there is kind of some power there in the guards next to Bradbury, but Bradbury's always been a smaller center. But what I think is interesting about it is in the run, he is, they call him the Grim Reacher because he does reach blocks and he can get across two gaps and get a two eye. So sometimes he might not even be against Reacher. He'll be against, you know, whoever your two eye or your three technique is. But when it comes to that power, so my question, there's no question about DJ Reader's power. And I think he has a huge advantage over Garrett Bradbury, especially in the pass rush there. And I'm definitely worried about that. But when it comes to run defense, how good is DJ Reader when he's stretched and when he's asked to kind of get very quickly from his alignment, you know, to another spot on the field against like an outside zone or something?
Well, he certainly showed his potential. That's the thing, is he's coming back from the quad. But what game was it? I think it was the Washington game, Jake. He showed pretty well in the run and blew up multiple runs and had a pretty good outing. We've only seen 15 snaps from this first team defense, maybe a little bit more than that, but not a ton. But he made his presence felt really quickly and early in that Washington matchup. And that's the thing. The first thing is, injury-wise, is he the DJ Reader that they brought in and signed to a huge contract and made the highest paid nose tackle in the league? But then to your point, can he make that impact against the run and do everything like we discussed on this podcast, where Dalvin's going to break it and slide into different gaps? And if he sees an opening, can Reader get there, and can he help these linebackers? And I think if the answer is no, then Dalvin's going to go for 200 plus. If he can, and he is that guy that we saw flash in Washington, and he can do that for most of the game, then maybe they have a chance to slow Dalvin Cook down.
It will be very fun to watch those guys do battle inside, because I think that just has such an impact on Dalvin Cook's ability to run, and thus the game script, and thus the direction of the game, and how much the Vikings will be able to keep the Bengals defense on their heels. And I think that's a big turning point in this game, right? I've said multiple times on our show, I said it in the DMs to you when we were preparing, that I thought whichever team ran the ball better early in the game and was able to keep the defense guessing a little bit more had a big advantage in this game.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch those matchups in the middle. I've kind of morphed into like a trenches obsessed guy. I love watching guards go up against nose tackles and double teams, and let's see if somebody can get a reach block. So I'm really, really excited to watch that. So anyways, I have taken up enough of your guys' time. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Locked On Vikings podcast. If y'all are on YouTube, you can see where to find these guys on Twitter. But why don't you just give the people who can't watch the video version, where do they find your work, your stuff? Plug your business.
Well, we're, of course, on Locked On Bengals 5 days a week at Jake Lisco for me. And James, you have a bit more to talk about.
At James Rapine on Twitter. And then I'll be at the game on Sunday covering it for Sports Illustrated and allbengals.com. So if you want Mid-game updates, injury updates. So far, not really many besides Trey Waynes and more. You can find it all there at All Bengals.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. So tomorrow is the last time we're going to talk before the Vikings play the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'm going to spend tomorrow previewing the Bengals, of course. But part of that is your bold predictions. I need some help from you all. So give me your bold predictions at Locked On Vikings, at Luke Brun NFL on Twitter. You can also put it in the Google form and do it just like a Twitter Tuesday question. That link is in the show notes. If you would rather, you can send an email as well to LockedOnVikingsPodcast@gmail.com. Send me your spiciest takes. Bold predictions are not just, a Dalvin Cook 3 touchdowns, even though that's particularly unlikely to have a 3 touchdown game and call it ahead of time. That's not spicy. That's not fun. Give me something spicy. Give me something that blows the doors off. I want your most nuclear spicy take. And I'm going to read my favorites on the show. And if yours is read on the show and then it's right, well, you'll be the first. That's never happened before. So let's all chase that white whale together. I will see you all tomorrow for that. And as always, Skol.